welcome to Papaya Turn 1, your friendly neighbourhood F1 podcast. So, we'd like to begin this episode by dedicating it to a motorsport legend, Sir Frank Williams, who has died at the age of 79. Sir Frank was nothing short of extraordinary. He is the longest serving team principal in F1 history, marking 50 years in 2019. And between 1979 and 1997, Williams had won 7 drivers' championships and 9 constructors' titles, with a total of 113 wins. He was a very inspirational figure for many fans of the sport, and he will be greatly missed.
Also, earlier this year, Williams marked their 750th Grand Prix in Monaco, which is an extraordinary, amount of races to have raced in, and his team was able to compete in that many, which is extraordinary. And the legacy he'll leave behind is insane. Like, bringing George on board to the team, he's got a driver there, he's world champion material. Insane legacy though, and he'll be greatly missed within the F1 community. Now, where do we start? So, I think we should start with the practice session because, the fastest street circuit in Formula 1 this weekend, Saudi Arabia. I was playing on F1 2021 last night. It is fast. And if you mess up one of the corners, it throws you off for all of them. So you can see how hard it is all the drivers. And it's fun. Very fast flowing though. And you can see how easy it is to make mistakes at like turn 21 and 22. Like Leclerc did and Schumacher. No, we'll start with practice. The track needed to be rubbered in. So the track time started off in the mid 130s. They slowly came down to the high 120s, late 128s when they were doing final practice sessions before qualifying, where I think Verstappen would have got into the 126s if he hadn't kissed the wall. Yeah, Leclerc had a crash, really hard crash in turn 21/22 in FP2, which left a big job for the Ferrari mechanics because that car was destroyed. But talking about the track needing to be rubbered in, the F2 practice really helped with this because it made it so that there was more rubber on track. And there was a big incident in F2 just before the race as well, where two drivers got into a serious accident. So we hope that both the drivers are doing well and can recover quickly to whatever injuries they have, which is still unknown at this point. Qualifying. Do you want to start? I'll let you start. Okay, so qualifying. Russell did not get into Q3 for quite a few times now. He hasn't been able to get into Q3, which has been quite a big deal. But Mercedes also tried a new strategy. They had enough fuel on board with the car so that they could go the entirety of qualifying without needing to box, which meant as well, because tyres during this track were weird. The more uses they had, the grippier they became. So Mercedes used that to their advantage to stay out there on warm tyres the entire time, which led to them getting a 1-2 start. Max would have defeated that 1-2 start if he hadn't crashed into the wall on turn 27, the final corner of the track, about to get a new lap record for the track, as well as, it would have been 5/10 up on Hamilton, which would have been insane for the championship. Didn't work out though, and it was very, very big. And Lewis took his 103rd pole in Formula 1. No, he got his 103rd win. Another insanely high pole though. It's just insane that he's able to reach that sort of record. I don't know any other driver that's been able to do that. And in terms of it as well, Valtteri Bottas, who's leaving Mercedes at the end of the season, has reached a new record. He's third of any drivers to stay. He's, throughout his entire Mercedes career, he's got into Q3 every single race.
Oh.
And he's third. And people above him, I think, can't remember who's above him, but it's insane that he's been able to stay on for that long. And I wonder what George could do next season.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Saturday, also known as. That was fun though, and that was the start of Verstappen's problems for this weekend, to say the least. I think we should move into the race now.
Definitely, there's a lot to talk about there.
We're going to be here a while, aren't we?
So,
I don't know where to start with this.
Well, to be fair, we don't know where to start, and it seems race director Michael Massey didn't either.
I think we'll just start with the race started, lights out and away we go. Hamilton gets a good start, Bottas gets a good start as well, Verstappen, no change in the top three there in qualifying. They all managed to get a decent start. Bottas was able to pull away from Max in the first couple of laps until lap 10, when Mick Schumacher had a spin in lap in turn 21 and 22, in the same point where Leclerc had
his problem.
Yeah, that's the word. Had his spin in the Scarlet Red Ferrari, but the Haas with the Uralkali sponsoring also ended up in the same wall, which later on in lap 15, the race was red flagged that barrier repairs could take place because, well, Michael Massey was worried that if another car went off in the same place, there wouldn't be as strong barriers, which obviously safety comes above anything else in Formula 1 nowadays because we don't want any other incidents like the Formula 2 race to happen, because that was a horrifying crash at the start of the Formula 2 race. And as we say, we hope that Enzo Fittipaldi is all okay and can return to racing, if not this season, the end of next season. So after the red flag, we needed a race restart. I thought that they might do a rolling start. They, however, did a standing race start, which probably wasn't the most sensible thing for Michael Massey to do, because you get round onto turn three, Perez goes in the wall, doesn't realise Leclerc's there, gets crashed into the wall. Leclerc just has some wing damage, he's okay. But George Russell slams on the brakes to try and avoid cars trying to swerve around Perez. And Mazepin just didn't have time to react, ploughed straight into the back of Russell, ruining both of their chances of, a race. They weren't in the warm though, so I'm sure that not being in a sweaty car for 50 laps will be quite nice, but still, no one ever wants to end the race on a low. So, on lap 43, Max cut a corner, however. I've missed like half the track. There was another restart, and it was absolutely fine this time, and it enabled everyone to get, past turn three, which is quite big. Being able to get past turn three on a 27 track circuit is really, really important.
Yeah, and something that might be of not to some fans. Esteban Ocon managed to somehow take pole for that second standing start, which was a spanner in the works.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that because Max got the two-place grip penalty, didn't he?
Yeah.
For cutting the corner, which Max had an amazing restart and managed to take pole straight away as Hamilton and Ocon clipped into turn one. Ocon cut the corner to get second place. And then a couple of laps later, Hamilton overtook him with the use of DRS once it was enabled. On lap 43, Max cut a corner, causing Hamilton to have to slam on the brakes. And in so, Max got a time penalty, got a time advantage, which he had to then later, he tried to give the place back strategically later on in the lap. However, to many fans, it looked like Max was brake checking Lewis. And to the FIA, it probably looked as if Max was brake checking Lewis. However, he was trying to give the place back before the DRS sensor so that Max would get DRS on the straight and be able to overtake Lewis, which I don't think that's right because you're giving it back to take it back immediately. It's not right.
Yeah. To say at the very least, the F1 community is rather drawn about this. Some say Max is in the wrong, some say Lewis, but...
And some say both are in the wrong. However, the FIA felt that Max was more in the wrong than Lewis because Max ended up getting a 10-second time penalty after the race for incident. Doesn't change anything in the constructors because those two are, too fast. They're just ahead of everyone else. Yeah, that was interesting bit of the race. And for the most exciting bit, I found this probably the best section. Just as they were going across the finish line, Valtteri Bottas passed Esteban Ocon to take P3. Away from Ocon, but to gain more constructive points for Mercedes, which was critical now that Perez was out of the race.
I kind of feel quite sorry for Ocon, because he'd done quite well, and to have it snatched away at the very last lap.
I know, if it had been one lap earlier, Ocon would have been fine, and he would have got P3, and to be honest, Mercedes still would have got 12 points for Bottas. So it's not the end of the world, but as we go into Abu Dhabi next weekend, this weekend, it's very close now. As we go into Abu Dhabi this weekend, Max and Lewis. Max is on 369.5 points. Lewis is on 369.5 points. They are dead even. Whoever gets one more point than the other during the next race wins the championship. it's going down to the last race. The last time it did this was 1972, where it went down to the last race. It's been a couple of points off, but it's never been identical going to the final race of the season. Maybe a 23 race calendar next season will be quite nice.
Yeah, but it's all to play for now as we go into Abu Dhabi, which is...
If any of them make an error, it's game over. There is no coming back from this. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Abu Dhabi. Thank you for watching, listening, whatever we are doing now, whilst listening to us to talk about cars going around the circuit. Enjoy the rest of your week, and hopefully we will have a championship winner soon. Goodbye.